Good morning, America. This is Wayne Ahart speaking for the Old Glory Network podcast. Thank you for tuning in for another message of common sense values designed to make Old Glory great again. Ladies and gentlemen, in 2007, I wrote an article called "Who's Going to Be Left to Save America?" No one. Well, at that time in 2007, I was 67 years of age, and I wrote, "In my lifetime, I have witnessed America come to the rescue of many countries. The United States military has truly been the cavalry in the eyes of countless countries that were under attack. Just think of all the countries that would be enslaved today and subject to the whims of a dictator if not for Americans' willingness to fight and die for others' freedom. How many countries would be speaking a different language today? How many countries' citizens would be living in poverty instead of being a world economic leader? If any free country around the globe today were threatened militarily, economically, or some horrendous national disaster struck, whom would they look to for help or rescue? The one country in the world that can always be depended upon to give a helping hand or to defend liberty, the United States of America. Now, there are disturbing signs that the fabric of American stability and strength is fraying. When fabric begins fraying, it's generally the result of wear and tear. The wear and tear of this great republic is evident in the multitude of organized attacks to destroy our freedom, security, and opportunity. To wit, the U.S. Constitution is under attack. Millions want to reduce and limit our military. The judicial system is unjust and unfair, they say. The educational system is a federal house of horrors. The tax system is unjust, unfair, and incentive killer and inviting revolt. Property rights are under attack. Religion is under attack. Business is under attack. Free enterprise is practically gone. What started out as a buyer beware system is now producer beware. Government regulations, rules, and approval processes discourage entrepreneurship and expansion. Self-reliance is changing to government reliance. Terrorism, environmental radicals, animal rights radicals, and energy dependence. All of these things and more are tearing at the fabric of American freedom. Can America remain free and strong for the next 100 years, or will the fraying fabric rip to shreds? Who will be there to rescue us? France? Germany? Japan? Australia? England? Israel? Italy? Ireland? Mexico? Indonesia? India? Canada? South Africa? Russia? China? Even if these countries wanted to rescue America in a time of great need, and some of them would, they would not have the ability to do so. I have listed 15 separate items that pose a serious threat to the security of our country, the freedom that set us apart from most countries, an opportunity to excel based on our own initiative. These 15 items are by no means all of our challenges, but they are significant. Please take special note that only one of them is a risk caused by others, and that's terrorism. All of the others are significant risks to our survival, and they are caused from within our own people. 14 risk factors caused by academia, organized special interest groups, unions, lawyers, liberal politicians, media, and citizens who vote for candidates who promise the most from government. Let us take just one of these risk factors and analyze the inherent dangers that it poses to our society, and that's energy dependence. Our country cannot operate without energy. Every home is no greater than a tent without it. Every car or truck is no better than a wagon without it. Buildings cannot operate. Grocery stores, refrigeration, heating, cooling, cooking stoves, traffic lights, gas stations, airplanes, computers, hospitals, and the military. In a two-word summary, everything stops and most things die. Given the seriousness, do we want to be dependent on foreign countries, most of which are not our friends, to be responsible for our energy supplies? We find ourselves much like a grasshopper in the clutches of a scorpion, and all we can do is just hope that scorpion doesn't sting us. We must remember that is what scorpions do. Since most experts agree that we have an abundance of oil reserves available to America, well, why do we find ourselves in this mess? A well-organized special interest group known as environmentalists have been able to make it illegal to drill where most of the oil is. There's only one sensible place to drill for oil, and that is where the oil is. Another well-organized special interest group called Animal Rights has teamed up with the environmentalists to stop much of the drilling, especially in Alaska. Both organizations lobbied hard to get Congress to pass the Endangered Species Act, which has stopped a host of business activity, including energy development. This is only the beginning of our problems. We don't have near enough refining capacity. Congress and regulatory agencies responding to liberal activists mentioned previously have taken away all incentive to build more refineries. The amount of time and the expenses required to gain approval and develop a refinery and the lawsuits to defend it virtually assure that no more refineries will be built in America. There you have it. Plenty of oil available, but we can't touch it. And even if we could, we can't refine it. We, our own people, Americans, created these problems. We are in the grasp of the scorpion, and we did it to ourselves. This is only one of the 15 items listed, challenging our survival as a free, prosperous, and secure nation. Each of the others can be analyzed in a similar fashion, and I challenge you to do it. Then just answer one last question. Who's going to be left to save America? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we got lucky. In 2016, we elected Donald Trump, President of the United States, and he undid many of the rules and regulations that were hampering the business activities of America and had a stranglehold on energy development. He set aside all of those rules and regulations established by President Obama and many other presidents before him. And today, in just these few years, we are now energy independent. Others are buying energy from us. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, the next subject I wish to discuss with you is entitled Humanities of Management. Most good leaders possess six certain qualities. One is respect. Two is honesty. Three, sincerity. Four, enthusiasm. Five, optimism, a positive attitude. And six, a commitment to excellence. Anyone who serves in a supervisory position is a leader and should ask himself or herself if they possess and practice these qualities. Every human being who is not mentally deficient is clearly capable of possessing and practicing these six qualities. If you believe you are lacking in one of these areas, it only takes a decision on your part to get better at it, because none of these qualities is exclusive to just certain people. Everyone wants to work for a team or a company that has integrity, that is fun to work for, that encourages laughter, self-improvement, and promotion possibilities. It is up to us to provide these things to them. A place of lightheartedness, enthusiasm, laughter, and commitment to excellence is a fun place to be. People will always be more productive when they are happy and can respect the people that they work for and with. Enthusiasm and optimism are the fuels that propel all great achievements. Enthusiasm and optimism put our own corporate director, Captain Eugene Cernan, on the moon. Indeed, the last footprint on the moon is his. Enthusiasm and optimism drove Columbus to America. Enthusiasm and optimism pushed Orville and Wilbur Wright to fly. Enthusiasm and optimism were the constant companions of Henry Ford. Enthusiasm and optimism were the forces behind every invention or medical breakthrough. And enthusiasm and optimism are two primary arrows in the quiver of every leader. It is almost impossible to get the best that individual team members can give without him or her knowing that the team leader is filled with enthusiasm and optimism for the task at hand. A motivated employee is seldom late for work, seldom misses work, seldom is bored at work, or a gossiper, or a source of trouble. A leader who is filled with enthusiasm and optimism is motivating to the team. The impact of the example set by a team's leader is undeniable. If the leader is all business, if she or he leaves the impression that all you have to do is just show up, get the job done, and go home, that leader will experience constant problems. The lack of enthusiasm and optimism will result in uninspired, unmotivated employees who are not having fun. This will result in higher turnover, tardiness, disagreements, and disloyalty. Following close on the heels of these negatives will be poor performance. So if you wish to be a great leader, You must make enthusiasm and optimism your best friends. The first three qualities of the six listed are all blood brothers, and none of them can be realized unless all of them are. Respect, honesty, and sincerity are inseparable. You cannot be taken as sincere or be respected unless you are trustworthy, honest. Members of any team must be able to count on their leader and know that she or he will always do the right thing. When a leader's honesty is unquestioned, she or he will be automatically accepted as sincere and will enjoy the respect of all. And item number six is a commitment to excellence. It is highly unlikely that a manager, leader, could or would possess the first five qualities listed and not be committed to excellence. Generally speaking, the commitment to excellence is the source of inspiration to achieving the other five qualities. If the commitment to excellence is lacking, it will gradually tarnish the other five qualities, and the reason for being a team will lose its luster. When the leader demonstrates a commitment to excellence in his or her habits and work ethic, and lets the team know that the same is expected from them, the other five qualities really begin to mean something. The messages that begin to impact the psyche of employee associates are that the leader and the company wants me to enjoy my job, have fun, laugh a lot, be enthusiastic and optimistic, but in return, I am expected to give my very best effort every day. I must be committed to my personal excellence, just like my leaders. I am needed to help build the company bigger and better and to be prepared for promotion opportunities as corporate growth creates new and exciting possibilities. It is important that the leader daily imparts to his or her teammates the absolute necessity of giving the best service possible to our customers, who are, in our case, our brokers and our agents and our insureds. Outrageously good service is the only reason for brokers and agents to sell our products instead of a competitor company's products. We must give the best service in the industry, and that service can only come from you, our employee associates. The degree of our success will always be in the hands of our management team. It will not be found in how well we dot the I's and cross the T's, but in how well we recognize the humanities of management. The more fun we managers have, the more fun our associates will have. Lighten up, but don't let up.